Quake, if you say amen, then I'll preach faster and we get to the food faster, all right? So this weekend is Father's Day, right? And I'm going to decide that this day before Father's Day is National Dad's Joke Day. There you go. So my mom gave us three children, it kind of runs in the family, this calendar, and I get a dad joke every day. It's called pun intended. So here's one. I've just taken a picture of this one. It says, people tell me it's strange to idolize the Pillsbury Doughboy, but I think he's a great role model. If you didn't get that, then talk to dads around you or so. And this is for Monday. I thought this was really interesting. It says, a Pennsylvania man is suing Smart Water for not making him smart. I would like to formally announce my lawsuit against Thin Mints. There you go. There are a lot more of these jokes elsewhere. So I share them in the elders' meetings. They groan, and then we move on. All right, well, we are excited about what we're going to learn today. And first of all, I want to just honor, how many of you are a dad? Raise your hand. Stand up, dads. Let's honor them right now. Thank you, dads. Can we honor them? All right, stay standing. All right, how many of you are a son? That's tricky. Oh, everybody raise a hand. All right, everybody stand up. All right, we're going to pray right now. Father, we're thankful for your work in our lives. We thank you that you have called us to this business of being dads and sons and mentors and examples. We ask that you would speak to us today in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen? Amen. You may be seated. All right, I've got some surprises in my message today, and here is one we're going to watch right now. Let's watch.
So Pastor Brad wanted me to make a video talking about what my dad did right. And for the most part, I can't really think of anything he did wrong. So I guess pretty much everything.
Go. So there's a tribute from Ryder, Pastor Matt's son. Isn't that good? We want to talk today about what it means to be a great father. And just as we're getting going on this, first of all, I want to clarify. Anyone can make a baby, but not everyone truly fathers a child. Isn't that true? Second of all, some of you may never have actually made a baby, but you can still be powerful spiritual fathers and mentors. This is for everyone that's in this place, because you are going to be called to be an example. In fact, you are an example now. You just may not realize it. People are looking at you and watching you. Third of all, I'm speaking about being a good father, not because I've been perfect, but because I know the source. I know the good father, and I know his truth, and we're going to look at his truth today. Amen? Nobody's up here, nobody's sharing because anyone is a perfect dad. If you're a perfect dad, I'd ask you to raise your hand, but then, of course, you'd be lying. So anyway, that wouldn't work so well. So the title of my teaching today is right there. Let's put it up. This is the way. Say that, man. This is the way. And, of course, this term we know about in a little series called The Mandalorian. But I tell you what, this term came long before The Mandalorian. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And the life. It says in Acts 9:2 that Saul asked letters from the high priest to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way. Acts 19:9, but when some were hardened, did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude. Following Christ is really the way, isn't it? Say it again. This is the way. So we're going to talk about what the way looks like in terms of being a father. What is the way? So, and we're going to look at one verse. I'm going to keep everything simple and clear today. I did my best. I'm usually known for having like 50 slides. I think I have like 20. So that's major for me here. And it's one of the most pointed and direct verses in the Bible about fathers. The reason why we know it's so directed to fathers is because Paul says, stop doing something and start doing something else. He starts with a negative. And he knows when he's trying to get men's attention, stop it. And start doing something else. So here it is. It is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. We're going to look at four different versions of this. And you may want to just take a picture of these as they come up, like two verses per slide, so you can think about them later. But let's read them out loud together. Let's read this first one. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Next one. Fathers, don't overcorrect your children or make it difficult for them to obey the commandment. Bring them up with Christian teaching and Christian discipline. All right, another one. This is the Passion Translation. Fathers, don't exasperate your children, but raise them up with loving discipline and counsel that brings the revelation of our Lord. And the last one from the message, I really like this one. Fathers, don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. Can you say, this is the way? There we go. So in a nutshell, we have two clear instructions that Paul's giving us. Number one, do not anger your children. Do not anger your children. It's the first thing Paul says to us as fathers and as those that are going to become fathers someday. Don't anger. And the versions bring up overcorrect, exasperate, or frustrate your children. He does that because he probably was looking at dads and knew that we could be liable to do that. You see, we actually frustrate our children when we are too harsh or too easy. You realize that? We've got to be clear in the way we get instruction. And our children actually do want a dad that takes charge, that takes the lead, but not like a dictator, like a loving guide, a loving authority figure in their lives. There was a study that they did with a bunch of little kids at a play area, and they sent them out to go play. And initially, they all huddled in the middle. They were afraid to freely run around everywhere, and they were so scared. And then they changed one factor. They established a fence around the whole playground. And all of a sudden, they felt safe, and they ran everywhere within that boundary. See, children don't want to be constrict so small, but they do want to know there are safe, healthy, loving boundaries in their life. Both ways, do not anger your children, but don't be too harsh or too easy. Second thing was this, show them, then tell them. Say that with me. Show them, then tell them. Now, this doesn't work to say, do what I say, but not what I do. That doesn't work. That's like a father says, you heard your mother, go to church, while he's sitting there watching the pregame show. That's not going to work. They're going to follow your example more than they're going to follow your words. Show them and then tell them. In fact, Christianity is more caught than taught. Do you agree? It's more caught than taught. Basically, they will listen to your words, but they'll do what you do. There is how many of you have seen the show The Chosen? The episodes, aren't they amazing? I think they're two seasons out. They're working on the third season, which comes out, I think, maybe in the fall, something like that. And there was an interaction, and I don't remember exactly which ones. I think it was probably James and John or Peter and Andrew. And they were just talking together about how Jesus was leading them. And they recalled, they asked each other, how did we learn how to fish? And their dad didn't really go sit down and go through a manual and put him in class. He just took him out fishing. And as they were alongside their dad, they learned how to fish. And they said, notice, Jesus is not like sitting us down in a classroom. We're just simply doing what he does, walking alongside. And that's really what fathering is. Show them and then tell them. Caught more than taught first. All right, so now, how can we make this practical today? And I want to give you something that I hope you'll remember, because this is something we see often all the time if you travel even the littlest bit. Remember these three letters, TSA. Anybody ever seen that before? It stands for the Transportation Security Administration, but I'm glad that we have better words for these at all airports, and we're not going to get your TSA pre-check today on that, all right? Every time you see TSA, I want you to think of these three words. First word, transparency. Say it with me. Transparency. What do I mean by transparency? I mean take off your mask. Take off your mask. And by the way, gentlemen, this will apply more than just in fathering. This applies when you walk through this building, when you come and you interact in a small group, when you go to an encounter. You see, men, you know we're good at wearing masks, aren't we? We're good at covering up who we are and putting that in front of us. Now, back in the day, when they did drama, and especially in Greek dramas, what they would do to try to show a different character, and sometimes the same person would have to be many different characters, is they would put a mask on to represent that character. And they made the masks back then out of wax. Now, a Latin word that we have heard before is be sincere, right? Sincere. Think about what the word means. Sin, S-I-N, means without. Seer, C-E-R-E, means wax. So to be sincere means to be without a mask. Take your mask off. Let people see who you are. And can I encourage you? Let your children see who you are. Now, I'm going to be a little bit sincere right now. I'm going to take off a mask. I'm going to tell you about two different times when I had to do this with my own family. There was some interaction. Now, we love our family meal table. It's a lot harder now with half of them gone and people back and forth and all. But we used to have a major meal table time. And it was always wonderful. But you know, things happen at the family meal table, haven't you? You finally get everybody together and then something explodes. So I was checking with my wife, and she definitely recalls that it was my third child, my first son. Stephen is a little bit passionate about life. And at this particular meal table, he started yelling. He was mad. And so, of course, as the good dad, I got mad. I got really mad at him. And thankfully, this was at a time when I could still pick him up. At this point, he could beat me up. But now, back then, I could pick him up. I grabbed him, and I took him from the table over into the other room, yelling at him all, and said, "You will stop being angry." I was just, my blood vessels were blowing. I was turning red, all that thing. And then after I promptly put him there, felt like I'd put him in his place, I turned to look around, and the whole family was looking at me, just demonstrating how to be angry. And I realized, you know what? I just messed up. I tried to answer anger with anger, and this was not working. So I took a moment, and I took the mask off. I said, you know what? I'm really sorry. I just modeled what not to be, and I want to apologize to all of you for being so angry. I still remember the moment. I hope my children remember the apology, but that was a tough moment. Another time, we had a really low period in our lives where we thought we had answered what God's call was. We went and launched a church, and it completely fell apart at the end of it. It was a tough time. I was without a full-time job for about 18 or 19 months. And in that time, I could have been like, well, everything's fine, children, but I couldn't keep putting that mask on. And specifically, there was a time when I really thought I had gotten the job, and then all of a sudden, and they were all counting on it, I didn't get the job, and I had to go home, and I could have tried to just press through it, but I gathered the whole family together. It was a really low moment, and I got really transparent and said, Dad didn't get the job, and Dad doesn't really know what God's going to do next, but we're going to pray right now. A lot of tears, a lot of pain, but a lot of vulnerability, and you know what? If I hadn't taken that moment to do that, then I wouldn't have had the chance to rejoice with him when God did something unexpected just a few months later. You see, when we take off the mask, we invite our children into our lives. It's scary, but it will be one of the most rewarding things you will ever do. Let's take a moment. Let's watch another special video.
I want to say happy Father's Day to my dad, Mel Gibson. Whether it's for the ministry, our family, whether it's cooking, doing magic tricks, or making great jokes, everyone appreciates all that you do. Thank you for always being awesome to us. There's just not enough words to tell you how awesome you are. Thank you, Dad, and happy Father's Day. Have a blessed one.
Isn't that great? Pastor Charger. So thankful Jesse was willing to do that. So the first letter is what? Transparency. Transparency. What's the next letter? S. And it's support. Say that with me. Support. This is the way. Transparency, support. And what I'm saying by that, I mean really listen. Really listen. Say that with me. Really. I'm trying to make sure that your brain is engaged because your mouth is speaking as we're trying. But have you ever noticed that as men, we can tune people out? Our wife may be talking and we say, yes, dear, but we're absolutely not listening to what's going on. Or our children may be going along and they're telling us this whole story, but we have tuned out. Now, my wife actually sometimes has gotten onto this and says, now, Brad, repeat back to me what I just told you. And then she catches me. I'm sorry, Aunt, I was thinking about something else. But, you know, with our children, we want to really support them by their knowing we are actually tuned in with who they are. Now, I also found this recently. We had some challenges with one child, and we were looking things up on the internet, and I found this video. In fact, you can look it up. It's simply is this title, Connect before you direct. Connect before you direct. If you're hoping to make a difference in somebody's life, they need to know that you're connected first. We're all really good. Most of us are really good at giving orders out, barking out orders. But in order to really make transformative life change in someone, you've got to connect first. Let them know you hear them, you understand, and then they'll listen to your directions. There is a book that I highly recommend. It's great for dads and for men. It's about 40 pages, and you can read it in 10 minutes. Great book, isn't it? All right. It's You Have What It Takes, What Every Father Needs to Know by John Eldridge. You Have What It Takes. And in this little book, he says there are two questions that your children ask. Boys ask, do I have what it takes? Boys ask, do I have what it takes? They want to know if they really have what it takes. Girls ask, am I lovely? Am I lovely? Will somebody actually want me? And what I want to encourage you is your job is simply to answer those questions over and over. Answer, yes, you do have what it takes, son. I believe in you. You're going to be an amazing man of God. Or with your daughter, yes, you are lovely, and somebody is going to want you, and you are amazing. You're a princess. You're a queen. All those things that you can affirm to them. But support is going to make the difference. If the children know you support them, then they're going to hear you when you share with them. Let's watch this next feature.
So Pastor Brad reached out and asked me to respond to this question. What did my dad do right? I guess there's a pretty long list to pick from. But if I had to choose one, and I think it's pretty all-encompassing, is he taught me to be a man of integrity, a man of accountability, and that started at a really young age. I think that's part of the perks of growing up in a military family with a little bit of structure. He let me learn on my own. He let me fail on my own, but he was always there to pick me up and dust me off and show me the right way to do it. He taught me to be a man of my word, and he taught me to have the utmost integrity in any aspect of my life. And doing what I do today and the job that I have, I think that's probably the most important thing I can take from this. Because it lets me be an example to the younger generation coming up underneath me of what you should strive for. And I really owe that to my dad. So thank you, Dad. And I love you. Happy Father's Day, all the way from New Mexico.
Chuck Gosnell's son, Aaron. Isn't that amazing? Say with me, this is the way. Transparency, support. Last letter, A. Authenticity. Authenticity. Big, long word there. Let me go with that. Well, how do I mean with that word? Get real and get deep. Get real and get deep. Can I tell you, gentlemen, we don't have enough time in our lives to stay shallow. We really don't. We may miss something if we don't take advantage of the opportunity to go deeper with our children, with those that are looking up to us. And let me give you a simple question. Well, let's make this easy. Simply ask with your children, how's your heart? How's your heart? Now, we were impacted by a family that encouraged us to spend time with our children early on, and they talked about it being daddy walks and mommy talks. So as really little ones, we started developing this. And so on many Sunday afternoons, all throughout their growing up years, I would take one by one each child around the block. Now, there's a nice thing about the block. There's a certain amount of time you're going to be with each child. You're walking, so I'm not necessarily just always looking in their face, but we could talk in deep ways. And then mom would be talking in all kinds of different ways. She still does this today. She has a date with almost every child, even the ones that are gone, except for Stephen. We can't always reach him, but she would every week. And when I would walk with them, I remember the littlest ones, and we'd be walking along and talking, and I'd say, so-and-so, how's your heart? I remember one of them saying, well, Dad, it's fine today. It's beating. It seems to be going okay. And they didn't quite understand what I meant. But over time, they would get it, and they would just start to open up about their heart and what that meant. And then, but be prepared, because then they flip the question, and so, Daddy, how's your heart? And then I had to be ready to share something with them about what my heart was. But the key thing was, it got real, and it got deep, and it was authentic relationship. Transparency, support, authenticity. You know, I want to suggest to you today that as dads, we have two regrets in life. The potential for two regrets. Number one, we can regret something we did say. We can regret for something we did say. Anybody ever regret something that came out of your mouth? All right, if you didn't raise your hand, read the Ten Commandments, please. Anyway, we regret something we did say. You know what the remedy is for that? Ask forgiveness. Ask forgiveness. Maybe it was something that happened years ago. It's not too late to ask forgiveness. Let's not walk away with that regret. Let's not go to our grave with that regret for something we did say. But second of all, the second major regret we can have in our lives is for something we did not say. Something we were going to say, but we just never got to it. Can I tell you what the remedy is for that? Don't wait. Don't wait. I imagine a lot of you have seen the recent Top Gun movie. I'm not going to give it all away or anything, but there's a whole interesting relationship. And I'll tell you what, I watched it once, and then I watched it a second time with the rest of my family, and I was more touched the second time. Just started to really break my heart, because Maverick is this guy who doesn't seem to understand fatherhood at all. I've never been married and all that, but he has an interesting relationship with a guy named Rooster, who was the son of his partner that died in the first movie. And they really build it up nicely. It's a great level of tension and challenge. And they're at the end of the movie, and they're about set to together go into battle. And Rooster comes up and says, you know, I've been meaning to tell you something. And then they have to get in the plane. He said, just tell me when you get back. And I went, oh, I hope they both get back. Now, if the movie works out, all works out there. But I want to just encourage you, don't let it be. There was something you were going to say, but you never said it. Now, I'm talking to dads. I'm talking to sons. Maybe some of you need to do that. And in fact, if I can encourage you with this, purpose to not have any regrets in your life. And I've done this little exercise. We have one more here in a moment to watch. But I've done this little exercise because of this. I believe some of you may need to make a quick video this today for tomorrow about telling your dad what he did right. Now, imagine if I asked a question, what did my dad do wrong? That's easy to come up with, isn't it? But coming up with what my dad did right makes you think and could bless a dad. And maybe your dad's not even alive anymore. If you share with your children what he did right, it gives them an example to follow as well. Let's watch this last one.
Hey, Dad, so I was asked the question, what did my dad do right? Well, you taught me what was right. You taught me the definition of right. You brought me up in a Christian home. And you instilled Christian principles in me from when I was a child to even now. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart. I'm proof of that. You've always had my best interests in mind. Even when it didn't always look like it, or we weren't on the same page, I know you did. And I thank you for that. I thank you for sticking it out, because I know I was pretty hell-bent, but you're very patient. That's what you did, right? You're incredibly patient with me, because I sure as heck didn't deserve it. And I thank you for that. We're short on time, but I love you, and thank you.
Philip Sparkman, Pastor Bill's son. Amazing. There is a story to that one. I'm so thankful. Transparency, support, authenticity. This is the way. Say it again with me. This is the way. Let's look at the bottom line. Prioritize relationship, guys. Prioritize relationship. And can I tell you, don't debate about, well, I'm spending quality time or I'm spending quantity time. Don't debate about what kind of time it is. Just spend time with your children. Spend time with the people you want to impact. And sometimes it's going to feel like a waste of time. There was this man who was a businessman who was focused on getting things done and maximizing his time. And one time he wrote in his journal, spent the whole day fishing with my son. It was a waste of my time. Then they looked up and they found out that the son happened to write a journal as well. And he had this entry, spent the whole day with my dad going fishing. It was the best day of my life. Time is never wasted when it's shared in relationship. Prioritize relationship. My wife reminded me of this quote as I close. Life may take them away, but love will bring them home. Life may take them away, but love will bring them home. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for each dad here. I thank you for those that are going to be dads. And Lord, you know that we have regrets. You know that we have probably self-accusing voices that say, you've been an awful dad and you could never get better. Your dad was awful. You're following in the same way. Whatever those lies are, Father, I pray that you would minister to men right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to encourage you, but I want to start with the bad news. If you want to turn your life around and become a better dad, you're not able to. You can't do it by yourself. You can have good moments. You can have well-wishing moments. But apart from Christ, you can't do it. So I wonder if who might be here in this place today that would say, Pastor Brad, I just came because there was barbecue. My friend asked me to come. Or I've been coming to this church for a long time. But if I were to be honest, I've never really turned my life over to Jesus Christ. I've never really asked him to take charge of my life. And this morning, just right at this moment, I'm just going to simply say, God, help me because I'm turning my life over to you. I want to be a better dad, but I want to actually be a person that lives for you. Is there anyone that would raise their hand nice and high and say, pray for me, Pastor Brad. I'm turning my life over to you. Thank you. God bless you. See those hands. Thank you, Lord. You can put those hands down. Father, I pray for these two gentlemen and anyone else that needs to choose you. Lord, we don't want to get to the end of our life and say we messed it all up. We want to get to the end of life and say, but because of God's grace, I made a difference. Second of all, with heads bowed and eyes closed, who would just be really transparent? Maybe the first time you're taking your mask off and say, Pastor Brad, if I could just be really real, I haven't been a good dad. I've got some regrets. And would you just pray for me as we close? Just raise your hand if you've got any of those things and I can pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray you can put your hands down for each man in this place. Help us, oh God, to embrace not getting angry, but being able to show before we tell. Help us, Lord, to be transparent, to take off our mask. Help us to show genuine support. And then help us to go deep and to get real, to be authentic. I thank you, Lord. This is a very simple message, but Lord, every time we see TSA, I pray we will resonate in our hearts. Transparency, support, and authenticity. Let it be for your glory.